Well, Lord, thank you. Thank you. We get this opportunity to have this in this healing class to learn more about you. Holy Spirit, we declare that you are our teacher. And so we are here for class. We are here for your instruction. We are here for your guidance. We are here for your correction if necessary, because we're opened up to you. And we're trusting that you are sharing the truth, revealing to us God's heart as it pertains to healing for our bodies. And we receive that now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you, sir. So this morning, we're going to be in an area in Romans that's very dear to me. I want you to turn over to Romans chapter 4. This is probably going to be familiar to you.
Say chapter 5.
Yeah, Romans 4 is very familiar. And when I started turning to Romans chapter 4, when I was talking to the Lord about what he wanted to share this morning, and I went over to Romans 4, it was almost like sitting down with a friend reviewing old times, reviewing times past. You ever have somebody that just, you shared common experiences, you know, decades ago, and you went through things together, and you're reminiscing. Yes. And when I went to Romans chapter 4, it was like sitting down with Jesus and just, oh, you remember this? Because Romans chapter 4 was one of the first revelations that I got after back in the 80s when I got turned on to the Lord and found out that it was about relationship, not about performance. That wasn't about religion, but he wanted a relationship. And so a lot of people, I would start listening to teaching on faith, and people would always refer back to Abraham in Romans chapter 4, and it'd go through there. And it was so much that it was in there. And so I went back there. It was just all those things that we'd gone through together.
Yeah, because all the memories,
all the memories of not just the Word, but we talk about standing on the Word, mm-hmm. but the Word is Jesus.
Yes.
We talk about standing on the Word, but the Word is Jesus, and it's standing with Jesus. So here I'm reading this Word, and I said, it's just like being with Jesus and talking to Jesus. And we went through this together. Remember this. We went through this together on this Word. So we're in Romans chapter 4. And in Romans chapter 4, Romans is such a powerful book. It's a masterpiece. Yeah. Romans is a masterpiece of justified by faith, the purpose of the law. It's just a masterpiece. And then when we get to Romans chapter 4.
Paul had to probably sit down after he wrote it. Take a rest. He probably was sitting.
In Romans chapter 4, it talks about Abraham and how he's justified by faith. Where we're going to start, we're going to actually start right in the midst of this. We're talking about Abraham. We're going to jump right in around verse 18 is where we're going to start. But I'm just get a little background. Abraham, of course, received a promise from God that he had to stand on for a period of time. And he had to grow in that relationship with the Lord. And so we're going to jump right into the middle of a verse and a thought here, where God has given him a promise, and that's it's pertaining to healing, because a lot of times God has given us a promise. He has given us His promise, and it pertains to healing. So just as Abraham had to do, we're going to see how we're using that as a model to receive on for us. So we're going to jump in on Romans chapter 4, verse 18. And we're talking about Abraham, who contrary to hope, in hope believed. We could stop at every verse and spend time there. I'm going to read the whole section that we're going to talk about as our foundation for this morning. And I'm going to go back and we're going to really break it down. So in verse 18, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced or fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. That's our foundation, and that's really what the Lord really wanted to share this morning, was this topic of fully persuaded. Now, fully, from a definition on fully, fully means completely, entirely, to the furthest extent, fully. And if we look at persuade, different translations will some translations will say fully persuaded, some will say fully convinced, but they convey a similar meaning. It's persuade means to cause someone to believe something, especially after sustained effort. Convinced is to cause someone to believe firmly in the truth of something. When you combine that with fully, it's like completely believe the truth of something. And that's what we're needing to do when it comes to healing, become fully convinced. Now, I want to go back to that first verse there where it talked about, that we started on, verse 18, where it said, who contrary to hope, in hope believed. What's that talking about?
Well, he was told that he was going to be the father of many nations. Now, he was told this long before he turned 100 years old. Now he knows he's old, but he was still told this is what's going to happen. So he believed it even when it looked utterly impossible. Mm-hmm. He still had the hope to believe that this is what was told to me, this is what's going to happen.
So he said, against hope, in hope. Against hope, against natural hope, he's in hope, the promise of hope. There's other verses, we were reading out of the New King James, we're talking about contrary to hope, in hope he believed, contrary to the hope that was available to him in the natural. The Amplified has it, for Abraham, human resource for hope being gone. No chance. Hoped in faith that he should become the father of many nations. I like the Message, the way they say it. They say, when everything was hopeless. When everything was hopeless. That is such a powerful picture. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to healing, even things that we might be facing, that we can anchor back onto. Say, when everything seems hopeless. When everything was hopeless in the natural, Abraham believed anyway, deciding not to live on the basis of what he saw he couldn't do, but on what God said he would do. You see,
big difference
in that little phrase. Against hope, he believed in hope. I like the one other one. I like different translations.
That gives you more ways of looking at the same thing.
Yeah, it's like this diamond, and you're looking at it different facets. It's all the same diamond, but you can see different. It helps convey things. In the New Living, it says even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations. Now. Now, what God did, though, as part of this, Abraham had a part to play. So God gave him a promise. And then God also gave him something to say. Do you know what God gave Abraham to say? Well, this one.
Did he change his name?
Yes.
So his name then meant Father of Many Nations.
Yes, that's exactly right. He gave Abraham something to say. So as part of his believing, he gave Abraham something to say. Abraham's name was Abram. Abram, which meant exalted father. But he changed his name to Abraham, father of a multitude. Now, Abraham traveled, nomadic life. So when he came into a different area, you can imagine him going into the 7-Eleven, said, "Oh, you're new here." He said, "Who are you?" "I'm the father of a multitude." "Oh.
Where's the...
Where?" "I'm the father of a multitude." He's saying, "I'm the father of a multitude." He's introducing himself as, "I'm the father of a multitude." His identity is becoming, "I'm the father of a multitude. This is who I am." He's speaking that. He's speaking that. So there's a part that he played, an action that he took, a corresponding action to his belief. And it was a simple thing. He changed something in his words because of the belief that he had and what the promise was that God gave him. God changed his name. God changed his identity. Start seeing yourself as a father of many nations, because I have promised you. That was my promise to you. Don't look at yourself a different way. Now, I'm going to go back to the message on this, because the message in verse 17, we started at 18, but I like the way the message conveys this. Abraham was first named father, and then became a father because he dared to trust God to do what only God could do. Raise the dead to life with a word, make something out of nothing. Amen. Now, the word that he was given Abraham was his name. Yeah. Abraham. Yeah. That's who you are now. You are the father of many nations. You are the father of multitude. You are the father of many. He started getting Abraham to come into agreement every time he said his name. Mm-hmm. "This is who I am. This is who I am." And I'm sure he raised eyebrows.
Well, yeah.
Where is it? You know, nuts. It's like this guy. This guy's nuts. Where's your kids? Yes.
But I have to wonder, the scripture doesn't, I don't know, go into great detail. But...
Yeah, I added the part about 7-Eleven. That wasn't in there. Yeah, I understand. Go ahead.
Changing his name, I think, helped Abram, as a human being to say, "Look, I am God. I will do what I promised you." To dispel any attempts at dissuading him. Because other human beings could come along and say, "I don't think God could, you know."
Mm-hmm.
"You really think God's going to do that for you?" I'm like, "I am thoroughly convinced," like you started at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
"He even changed my name."
Yep.
So it's like, hey, God's changing my name. He's up to something pretty big here. So
yeah.
I'm sure somebody tried to tell him that.
They probably did.
I'm sure there was somebody telling him.
I surely did. And we'll... And so we'll
that's argue anyways.
So, well, it'd be the same way with healing. The doctor's
yes.
gonna tell you something else.
Exactly.
And God's telling you that...
That you're the healed.
I'm healed.
Yeah. So it's like, who
but
are you?
The doctor says that's not curable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Not curable. It's hopeless.
Yeah.
He said, "Well, that's hopeless." Well, I'm healed.
Yeah.
Just like Abraham said, "I'm the father of many."
Yeah.
Well, I'm the healed.
God said it.
God said it. Yeah. All right. Thank you for your opinion.
Uh-huh.
Thank you for your opinion. I thank you for your opinion. You know, I thank you for your input, but.
And I don't get a bill from
God. That's true. You know what? It's paid for, wasn't it?
Paid.
That's right. The bill was paid. Yeah, somebody else paid it. Yeah. Yeah, there was a bill. But it went to somebody else's account. That's right. Amen.
You only have to look at your credit card statement.
Yeah.
Or your bank
account. Yeah. I don't have to pay tax on that.
So what I want to do is, and I want to go back to that verse we started with in King James, and I'm going to show you a couple words there. Who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken. He believed and became what was spoken. He believed and became what was spoken. And then out of his belief, he spoke. Just like it tells us, we believe and then we speak. So this is what, this was the, a progression or a little piece on that is this to condense that. Okay, he believed, he became what was spoken. What was spoken was what God spoke to him. Mm-hmm. He believed and became the promise that God spoke him.
Yes.
So we believe and therefore we speak the promise. Yes.
That was spoken.
Mm-hmm. Now I want to do a kind of a contrast here. I want you to go to Luke chapter 1, because we're going to look at another person that was in a very similar situation. Luke chapter 1, it tells us the account of Zacharias. Yeah, Zacharias.
Oh, but he didn't believe.
Uh-oh. See, we had a little different situation.
Yeah. Zacharias doesn't talk. Do you remember your buddy Abraham?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting about that because Zacharias was a priest.
I know.
Right? So if anybody should know the history and know that,
yep,
it would be Zacharias. So we're looking at Zacharias, and we're going to be in chapter 1 of Luke, starting at verse 9. Well, we'll go back to verse 8. So it was, this is talking about Zacharias, so it was that while he, Zacharias, was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went to the temple of the Lord. Keep that in mind. We're going to come back to that. His lot fell to do this, all right? We're going to come back to that one. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." That's good news, isn't it? And he goes, that's good news. It says your prayer has been heard. So this is something that was in Zacharias' heart. This is something that was on his heart. He says, your prayer has been heard, and it's been answered. And the next verse, look at that, 14. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. Now, think about that. He's telling them, that's got to be encouraging. Your prayer has been heard. It's being answered, and you're going to have joy. Man, if you heard that, you'd get excited, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Now, the same way,
except for Zach,
we're going to finish that, but I just want to make a little insert here. Because I remember going back to when I first got turned on the Lord back in the 80s, and I started finding the truth of the Word. And one of the things that was revealing to me was, God wants me well. Mm-hmm. That's different than what my religion said. Mm-hmm. God wants me well. And you're seeing this good news, like this promise. This is exciting. At the same time, could this be true? Could it really be true what I was taught before, that God might use sickness? Or you might do sickness for the glory of God? Or, you know, misapplied scriptures. Could it be true? There's an excitement that says that you know inside, there's something that resonates, says, yes, this has got to be true. Mm-hmm. So you can get, there's an excitement. Hey, get excited.
Yes.
God wants you well. Get excited. God wants you well.
Yes. Yes.
So let's keep that in mind when we're going through this, because we're tying this into what it is for healing. All right? So keep that in mind, because we have the same thing when God brings presents a word to you and says, I want you well. I already paid for your sickness. I already paid for your disease. I already paid it. Mm-hmm. Receive the healing. The same thing. The same. Get excited. All right. So let's go on now. Verse 15, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord and shall drink neither wine or strong drink. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the father to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So he gives him, basically, he's laying out this son of yours whole life. Here's what's going to happen. Preparing for the Messiah. Everything that you've wanted, everything that you've been looking for as a nation is coming to pass. And your son that's coming, being born, he's the one to introduce the Messiah. Get excited. Yes, this is an exciting time. And Zacharias said to the angel, how shall I know this? Now think about that for a minute. How shall I know this? What was that verse I asked you to remember back there when we were going through it? All right, here it is. According to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell. All right, now, back in those days, they got the will of God by casting lots. So they would cast it and say, okay, God, do this. So the lot fell to him. All right, now, from priesthood standpoint, God chose him to be there. Right? God chose him to be there. This was a divine appointment. Now, he should know this is a divine appointment. The lot fell to me. The angel already described the prayer. I mean, how many angels have appeared to people up to this point? Not for a long time. There's an angel standing before him, telling him, giving him all this good news, fulfilling the prophecies, explaining it all to him. And he knows this was a divine appointment coming into this. And yet his question is, how shall I know this? What else do you want?
I just told you.
What else? Hello, yeah, I mean, what else? What else is there? How shall I know this? Now, and then what he went on to say. For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years. All right, now, as we said when we first turned to Luke chapter 1, Zacharias knows the scriptures. Mm-hmm. He had to know the parallel between his life, his and Elizabeth's situation, and Abraham and Sarah's situation. He had to know that. He had to see, well, they were old, we're old. He had to be able to see those parallels, being a priest.
You would think.
Even as a Jew, he memorized that whole section. He knew that section by heart. Yes. So we'd have to know that truth there. And yet, here he is being told the same thing, the same, essentially, the promise that Abraham was given.
Yes.
It's repeating here.
Right. Yeah.
It's available for you. It's available for you. Here it is. Receive it. Say it. Take it. But he said,
I'm old.
I'm old.
He's looking at the natural.
Yeah. See, now, did you see what the difference was in Abraham? He's speaking the promise.
Yes.
He is speaking the promise. Here, the angel, the messenger of God, is giving Zacharias the promise. And he's speaking the circumstances. He's speaking the natural. He's speaking the hopelessness. And so consequently, he didn't speak.
Yeah.
He said, you're not going to speak.
For at least 9 months.
You're not going to speak because we can't have that speaking.
Right. We can't have that doubt.
No. Yeah. In spite of the fact that, you know, the angel had told him, you're going to have joy and gladness and all these things. You could be saying that. Mm-hmm. Here's some things you can say. And here's all these things that John's going to be doing. Here's all these things that are going to happen. You could be saying this. He's giving him words to say.
And I would be saying, wait till I go home and tell my wife.
He's giving him words. He's giving him words to say. He's telling them this is what's going to happen. Say this. It's kind of like, here's what you can say. Here's what you can say. And instead, we're saying what we see. Mm-hmm. He's saying what he sees. Mm-hmm. There's a contrast there, and that should help us. We are given promises. We are given promises when it comes to our health, comes to our body, comes to our physical things. Here's what you can say. Here's what you can say. He'll give you a promise. No, wait a minute. God told me. Yeah, you're saying this, doctor, but God already told me that I'm healed. God already told me that Jesus already took my sickness. Amen. We're going to go back to, let's go back to Romans 4 where we were. I wanted to do that deviation as a contrast. Here we're seeing one thing that's presented. Here we're seeing somebody else in a situation that's very similar and how the reaction is. So we're going to go back over to Romans chapter 4. And we're going to pick up then in that verse 19. where he says, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead. Now, you see the contrast between that and Zacharias?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. You see the contrast there. To consider, it comes from the Greek word katanoeo. And it means think carefully about, typically before making a decision. You're considering something. It's not just, oh, I didn't even know that I was old. It's not like that. It's like where in Luke, I think it's chapter 12, he talks about consider the ravens. Consider the lilies. Mm-hmm. He's talking about considering, hey, look at this. Not just look, oh, yeah, there's some ravens. Oh, yeah, there's some lilies. It's like, now think about this. They're being fed. Mm-hmm. Think about this. This isn't just, oh, yeah, I see that. It's like, now think about this. So it's like, I didn't consider my own body. In other words, it didn't enter into the equation that the results are dependent on it. So it doesn't flow that way. So it's like, I'm not going to consider his, he said he did not consider his own body already dead. It's like, it doesn't make any difference.
Because God said.
God said. He was so speaking what God said that he didn't consider the other. There was no room for it. Now continue on here. In Romans chapter 4, then the next verse, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. He did not waver. Other versions say he did not stagger. And that stagger is a Greek word, diakrino, which means to stagger or doubt or waver. It's kind of like a, you know, drunken sailor. They stagger. They're kind of like this way and that. And it's like vacillating. Now, what's interesting about that word that was translated in the New King James, it's waver. Other translations say doubt. Some say stagger. But it's the same word that was translated in James chapter 1. That talks about wavering. It's that same word. I'm going to read James chapter 1 out of the Amplified. It's James chapter 1, and it's verses 6 to 8. And it says, only, they're talking about asking. It says, only it must be in faith that he asks, with no wavering, no hesitating, no doubting. For the one who wavers, hesitates, doubts, is like the billowing surge out at sea that is blown hither and thither and tossed by the wind. For truly, let not such a person imagine that he will receive anything he asks for from the Lord. For being as he is, a man of two minds, hesitating, dubious, irresolute, he is unstable and unreliable and uncertain about everything he thinks, feels, decides. That's powerful.
Yeah.
That's like sobering. And so that the thought or the idea of wavering is
unstable.
Yeah, it's really critical, and it applies to healing, but it's very crucial in the area of healing. I know there was one time, it was probably maybe 5 years ago, maybe 5-6 years ago, I was having a lot of lower back pain. It was going right down my leg. And I was having a hard time, you know, standing for lengths of time. I remember being over in the Marriott and be during worship, and as we're getting close to the end of worship, it's like I can hardly stand up. It was just hard. And it went on for a while, and I'd speak to it and get some relief, but it would seem like it was just lingering. And one day I can remember being out in the backyard, and I'm talking to the Lord about it. I said, Lord, what's going on? He said, and I could hear him just as clear, are you fully persuaded? And well, actually, no. You know, you might as well be honest.
Yeah.
You might as well be honest.
He knows my heart.
Yeah.
Might as well, because he knows me.
You might as well. But
Abraham, Zacharias.
But I find it cool about the Lord is that, I mean, for me, he asked me questions. Mm-hmm. He just doesn't tell me, okay, well, you're being, no, he asked me questions. Mm-hmm. Because he already knows, but he wants me to see. And if he asks me a question, will I allow him to show me? Will I open up my heart to let him shine his light on, to let him revelate his revelation of the Holy Spirit? Say, so when he asked, are you fully persuaded? I had to pause and say, actually, I'm not. Because I'll see the word, and I'll say, oh yeah, that's what the word says. I'll stand on the word. Then my body would say, and I'd say, okay, well, my body is saying. And okay, but the word says, okay, but yeah, but my body is talking. And you see the waiver?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, yeah, the word says this. I'm focused on the word. But my body, okay, well, my body is, my attention is wavering. And so when I saw that, I said, okay, well then, I can consider not my body. Mm-hmm. And that's the practical walking out. It's not like your body stops talking.
Yes.
And you don't wait for your body to stop talking or to stop giving input in order to start saying, in order to still stay focused. Your body does not become the final word. So rather than keep looking at the body or focused on the symptoms and like commanding symptoms, da, 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 I just started to focus on, well, okay, well, I'm going to focus on you and the truth of your word. And then I don't even know when it left.
Amen.
It left.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't, I mean, I stand for a long time. There's a lot of service now. I never sit down.
Yeah.
I'm just up and I'm standing. And it was like, it's gone. I mean, I haven't been bothered with that for years now.
Hallelujah.
And it's this, but it's the same, it's a similar that, but the pattern, and I don't like I use word like pattern, not meaning formula, all right, not formula, but we can look by example of what it is okay, how did someone else walk through this, how did this happen? And is anybody familiar with, everybody unfamiliar with Andrew Womack Ministries and the Andrew Womack Ministries?
Yeah.
Yeah, and they on their website, they have healing testimonies. Mm-hmm. And there's a whole bunch of healing videos. And they're really good. And sometimes you'll see the common denominator is people getting their eyes off of what their body is telling them. Mm-hmm. They're no longer focusing and they're no longer taking that input. They're so consumed with the Word of God and the truth of the Word that just that the reality of that Word becomes, they get revelation of the reality of that Word. It's not like it's becoming real, it's already real. But to them, they're seeing the reality of the healing. And now they're able to receive that. So I encourage you, if you want to see some exciting ones, to watch those videos and see that. Now I want to do questions. Anybody else have walked through some similar things and you're saying, I've been through that. I know what it means.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was working at UPS and all of a sudden I started getting migraine headaches. Now, I don't know how many of you have had migraine headaches, but these hurt. Every time I took a step, it was like somebody was inside my head with a sledgehammer. Mm. Every time I moved, somebody was in my head with a sledgehammer. I mean, it hurt to open my eyes. And I prayed, I said, Lord, I don't know where this came from, but I don't want it. And it took a while. Now, it didn't happen overnight. But I remember praying, and then one day I went to work, and my head wouldn't hurt. And I said, thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
But like you said, I can't remember when it left, but
yeah,
it left.
Yeah. And what was interesting there, not when it left, but also, and you might do something like, okay, I'm believing God, when I go to bed, it's going to be gone in the morning. And you get up in the morning, and it's not gone. Now what do? You believe God. Does that become, does the clock or the calendar become the dictator? No, it didn't happen like this. I'm going to release, I'm going to give up.
Well, see,
I'm going to go back,
not
but it's
my
not.
Time.
It's not on your time. Well, no, but
yes.
Yeah, because his time is finished.
Yes.
But yeah, Julie.
I have a testimony that happened years ago to my husband, and he had a closed head injury, and they had to do surgery, and he said it was the worst surgery I ever had, and he didn't want to go through another one. But the doctor told him, he said, oh, you're going to have to go through 2 more surgeries. This is not going to go away. And I remember him telling me that one night, he goes, I cannot go through 1 more surgery. And he was going to be having a CAT scan in a couple days. And I went to bed that night. I said, God. I mean, I cried. I went to bed. And I said, God, you know he can't go through 1 more thing. And he gave me a dream. And it gave me such a persuaded. Mm-hmm. I was persuaded that he was healed. And Bruce went and got his CAT scan, and he came back, and he looked at it, you know, and he goes, he calls me at work, and he's crying, and he said, it didn't change. And I said, you're healed. Mm-hmm. I said, I don't care what that CAT scan right. said.
Yeah.
You are healed.
You're healed.
And I said, you just keep believing that. Well, I was able to stand in that gap for him. He went to the doctors, and I said, God can change a CAT scan.
Amen.
And he got in there, and he said, I'm persuaded I was.
Yep.
I'm not usually like this. And he got in there, and he said the doctor came in, and then he brings in another doctor, and he's looking at it, and he said, I've never seen this before. He said, it shrunk in half.
Yeah.
And from what Bruce saw, went at home, to the 15-minute drive to the doctor's office, God changed it.
Wow.
Yeah.
And he didn't have to have another surgery, went in 2 more weeks later, and it was gone.
Yeah. And praise God.
How big God is.
Yeah. That is right.
Hallelujah. You're persuaded.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
And there's a couple of things. Yeah, go ahead, Jackie.
Well, I was just going to say, a couple of weeks ago, I was curling my hair, and I burnt my finger with a curling iron, and it was so painful. I mean, it hurt so bad. I don't know if everyone's ever
yeah,
done
really,
that.
Jackie. Okay, I've heard. All
right.
Okay.
All right. And it bubbled up. It blistered up. Uh-huh. And on the way here, I was thinking, I got to stop at CVS and get something for this, because this really is like ba-boom, ba-boom, you know, is really hurting bad. So I walked up to Blake, and I said, I did my pouty face and said, I burned myself. He goes, in the name of Jesus, be healed. And I was like, okay. I thought, well, whatever that is. It's not a big prayer or anything. Well, I worshiped God, and by the time I left, the pain was completely gone.
Mm-hmm.
I had no pain. And I was like shocked. Okay, this is wow. where unbelief comes in, right? But I did not have any pain at all. The pain had completely left.
Yeah.
Even though the blister was still there,
yeah.
I went through the whole transition of the thing where it, you know, really blistered up bad. But I had no pain through the whole thing.
Yeah.
So it's
Amen.
Just like, God, you don't have to do any mighty prayer.
Amen. That's
it is like,
exactly.
You know, he just, that simple
yes.
word of faith,
Amen.
And me just going, okay, whatever, you know,
yeah.
I mean, I'll take that prayer. But it's like that pain really left. It really
mm-hmm.
did. It was amazing to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a small thing, but, mm-hmm. you know, being
wow.
fully persuaded
yeah.
that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. And that was just, to me, that was amazing too.
Yeah.
Didn't
yeah, hurry at all.
That's
right. Yeah. Yeah. So praise God. So that was good. Now I want to, because even if you're, okay, I'm not sure what word to stand. You're persuaded of his goodness.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You can be persuaded of his goodness. Persuaded of his completed work.
Yeah. He already paid the price.
He already paid the price. I'm completed, persuaded of that. Now I want to give you one little question. Last night, when you went to bed, was it dark out?
Yes.
Okay. Was anybody anxious about whether the sun was going to rise?
No.
Were you persuaded that the sun was going to rise?
Yes.
Were you fully persuaded that the sun was going to rise?
Yes.
All right. So you were fully persuaded that the sun was going to rise. Did you stay up last night and intercede and pray and command and bind and try to get the sun to come up, to make sure that sun came up? Now, what'd you do?
Sleep.
I went to sleep. You went to sleep because fully persuaded doesn't demand your activity. All right? There is a persuasion that you receive, but you're fully persuaded in what has already been done. You're fully persuaded in the promise that has already been given. You're already fully persuaded in the goodness of God.
Yes.
The truth that by Jesus' stripes you were healed.
Yes. Yes.
The truth
yes.
that has been accomplished. The truth that it was already accomplished in the payment that Jesus made. It's already finished. It's already done. There's that truth. The persuasion is not in any of your activity. Not in, okay, I'm praying and I am fasting and I am studying the word and I am reciting these scriptures and I am...
And I is getting in the way.
Yeah. Yeah. Because the focus has to be on him.
Yes.
Because just as we saw way back in the beginning of the one of the early scriptures, it was Abraham said that he trusted what God said.
Instead of the circumstance.
He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. So in the spite of the other stuff, I'm giving glory to God. Do you see the manifestation? I'm giving glory to God.
He took himself.
I'm healed.
He said, listen, you said it.
I'm healed. Glory to God. Do you see it yet?
Yes.
Makes no difference. I see it. Right there it is. I see it. Giving glory to God and being fully persuaded. I'm fully persuaded in what he had promised. He promised. He was able to perform.
It says it right there on the wall.
What he promised, he was able to perform. And then, in fact, now in this covenant that we have, he already performed it.
Yes.
See, that's the beauty of it, where we sit, where we stand in this side of the covenant, this side of the cross, because it's completed. We don't have to say, okay, God is going to give it to me. No, God already gave it. Jesus already died. The payment's already made. The health, the healing, the victorious life, it's already completed. We're coming into the revelation, the fully persuaded part. It's done. Body, you're healed. Body, you are healed. Who are you? Who are you? I'm the healed.
Healed of the Lord.
I'm the healed. I'm the healed. Jesus healed me. So I'm walking in that health, that victory. Amen. I'm excited. I'm excited. Fully persuaded. There's a key. That's what I'm going to leave you with. Keep fully persuaded. Just set on that. Receive that. All right, we're going to close. I'm going to be around for prayer. If you've got a need, you come up, we're going to be fully persuaded in what he has said, what he has promised. We're going to impart it. So, Lord, thank you. Thank you for this word that you have given us. And we commit not to do in our own strength what you have already provided, not to try to receive. But just like Abraham, we're committing to be fully persuaded that what you have promised, you're able to perform. That you have already performed in what Jesus did for us. And so we receive and we declare, our mouth speaks the identity that you have given us, the healed of the Lord. We declare that. Body, you are the healed of the Lord.
Yes.
You are the healed of the Lord. And we give you praise, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
People, you are released.
Amen.
Hallelujah.